Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We want to just kind of cut to the chase because there's so much content that I'm trying to keep up with. And this is that time of year where there are lots of things that are happening that just get unnoticed because most people are out on vacation and people aren't maybe necessarily spending the time wading through all the different things. And as a matter of fact, the mainstream media and even the conservative media doesn't have, I guess, the ability. Well, let me just say this. If it bleeds, it leads. So there's certain things that they're going to constantly focus on, and you're going to be in your 24-hour news cycle for those who are going through the summertime, because this is how it happens. They will constantly focus on, you know, the people that are hurt or missing, like the gal in Utah. Not that life isn't important, but there are all sorts of other things. And again, I like to use the phrase, those stories are not going anywhere. It's not like, do you need to know every little, they're looking in this area, they're looking and doing this. And let's just get to the point where we actually can, you know, live without the constant updates of somebody turning a page, sharpening a pencil, and or whatever else little minutiae that they can cover and report. As a matter of fact, there's a reason why they want to do that. Is that's because they're keeping you blind, or I should say uninformed, regarding things that are important. And so there's a lot of things that are happening, and we want to put these things into context. And the danger of some of the things that are happening that may be flying below the radar. But as you know, the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the show that actually talks about the solutions and puts things into a constitutional perspective. As I always try to do, I always try to point out, you know, this is not a constitutional power that the federal government has. And we'll get into some of that today. The show is also available on a listen line so that if you cannot stream, you can always listen by dialing 605-562-4209 or 605-313-0599. Now, let's use those numbers and let's, you know, overload the circuit so we have to give you a third and fourth and fifth. Let me just kind of move forward. As a matter of fact, it takes quite a bit to overload these numbers. But as you can tell, Red State Talk Radio is growing its presence with all the different talent and all the different hosts that we have. We're obviously giving you a message that is not getting out on the conservative entertainment, if you want to call them news channels, talk channels, whatever you want to call them. Because bottom line, they are, you can listen to a 3-hour show of a very popular conservative entertainer, and they only talk about one or two things, and it's either all about Trump or something else. And there are a lot of things that are happening, and the Leviathan of the federal government has so many tentacles in our lives that it's hard to cover all of the things. One of the things that's been happening is there's been bills that have been coming forward that are taking away your parental rights and forcing, and they're working at the state level to forcing your children into being vaccinated and so forth. But that's just one of the little things that's going on that's not getting reported. The same thing with the Agenda 21, 2030 things that are happening, those bills and that type of stuff. They do not even want to talk or even tell you that there is an agenda, because then you have evidence that there is such a thing as a conspiracy going on. And whoa, They don't want to be the ones that are, you know, culpable of covering up a conspiracy, which means that they are in cahoots, collusion, whatever you want to call it. But let's go ahead and move forward real quick and let you know that if you want to get involved, there are lots of different ways you can get involved. You can support the show directly. If you drink coffee, you can buy your coffee from Red State Coffee, and they are out on eBay. And if you want to get the direct link, it is on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Then buying that coffee will directly support this show. So you can also go directly if you don't need any products, but you just have an abundance of money and you want to just, you know, give a little out, then you can support our crowdfunding campaign on GoFundMe. The link is also on reclaimingtherepublic.org as well. What we really need is we really need leaders to step up. If you have the time, and it doesn't take much time to start getting involved, as you get involved, you'll be able to find the necessary time. I don't think anybody's been overwhelmed with, you know, this is too consuming. You just make the time that you have and you can make that big of an impact. Believe me, there's a lot of things that are going on in my life and I'm still able to move things forward. So you can do the same thing as well. And we need your support. So just send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will also tell you there's two other causes. It is the constitutionclub.ning.com. I've been supporting these guys since the very beginning. And, well, they've been around for a lot longer. But since I've started this show, for the most part, I've been very supportive of Keith Broders and that website that he has that is educating people and helping fight the good cause. He's a huge supporter for Republic Review, and we need to support him as well because he has a good tactical website that allows you to get involved in your local county and your local state. Go check it out. It's like a social media platform, but it's very informative. It is more like kind of a news. It's a hybrid type of platform. Go check it out. The other group that I recommend you get involved with is Our First Right. If you go check them out, they are trying to get the Madison Amendment that has not been passed yet to get ratified throughout the states so that we can displace Congress and get them the heck out of Dodge. Constitution Day plans are coming up. And as a matter of fact, I'm starting to see people, you know, putting out challenges of reading the Declaration of Independence. In Wyoming, there's a big challenge, and they're actually going to be reading the Declaration of Independence from different city halls and court buildings and so forth. That is a good sign. Now, let's do the same thing with the same vigor and the same support in all of these same places and reading the Constitution from the steps of the court or what have you throughout these states and cities. What we also need to do is help elevate the Constitution in everybody's paradigm. And the best way to do that is putting the Constitution in everybody's hands. So if you don't know how to do that, just send us an email and we'll help you get started where you can get really affordable handout constitutions and so forth. I want to know if you're doing anything that you want to promote, let us know and we'll be happy to promote it. Want to thank you for tuning in. Please, we want to challenge you to getting out and getting other people involved so that they can start learning and actually spreading the news. It's kind of like that snowball effect. If you get other people, they get other people, so forth and so on. If it continues to move and we continue to grow this show, that right there will have a much larger impact. So you are a critical part of helping this message get out. So please make sure you continually convince people that they need to at least check out this show. Give it a week's try. And I'm confident that it's not, because this isn't about entertainment. This is about putting things in perspective. And so when we come back from the hard break, which is just a couple of minutes away, we are going to actually get into some climatology stuff, and we're going to start off with my favorite gospel song in doing that. The other thing I want to go into is, You know, the federal government has reached such a leviathan that people have no clue. I mean, we are at a point of accepting whatever the government does and, you know, it's got to be right. And it's not. The federal government has been limited by the Constitution. As I mentioned yesterday, we have an enumerated Constitution, not a general Constitution. They do not have the power to create any type of new role, responsibility, and power. That requires the states to amend the Constitution for them to be able to properly have those powers. There is nothing in the Constitution that has given and granted the powers for the federal government to have the EPA, have the Department of Energy, to have the Department of Education, Health and Human Services. Almost everything that they're doing domestically is tyranny. They do not have the authority or the power to do these things. If you even question this, then I would ask you to go to the MobiusStripPress.com website and look at the extracts that I've got on the ratification debate extracts. Just go on the left-hand side. There's a little link there. Start reading through what these men were saying, such as Samuel Adams and John Hancock, such as James Madison, Nicholas, or Mr. Iredell. There are several little quotes, a lot of them from Virginia, but there are several quotes from different states that all amount to the same thing, that they were very, very concerned with an over, a zealous and overpowerful, or a providing central powers for a government where they could do anything and everything. They were very conscientious of trying to keep that from ever happening again. So when we come back, we're going to get into some of the tyranny and some of the other problems that are coming from this. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so one of the things that is well within the federal government's powers is to identify and have a standard and a well-regulated process in the immigration process. It is also well understood that the federal government and state governments, progressives, have been undermining this to a point where we are at a critical mass with millions. Probably, I remember a long time ago, it was somewhere assumed to be about 20 to 30 million. That was back when Bush was president. All of a sudden, the numbers have changed and it's gone down dramatically. Now, that means that they might actually be accepting illegalized aliens, where California is actually registering and giving these people, without going through the federal process of citizenship and the qualifications and everything else to become a U.S. citizen, these states are undermining the federal government in doing that. And so what the federal government is also doing is they're actually tying the hands of the Trump administration, because SCOTUS, it seems, because the Trump administration in the 2020 census, Trump wants to include a question regarding citizenship. And SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, who is now supposedly conservative based on everybody's assessment that these are all, you know, Trump appointees and, you know, supposedly appointed by conservatives, they are saying that the administration cannot, and they're blocking the citizenship question. Do you really believe, my friends, that you can get a conservative and or even a constitutional jurist onto the Supreme Court? I'm here to tell you, any jurist that is going to be appointed is a part of the problem. This is why the Supreme Court, based on the design of the original Constitution and based on the concept of technology at the time, I truly believe that the Supreme Court was a brilliant addition to this three-tiered government, or I should say three-branch government, in creating separations of power and so forth. I'm here to tell you that in the 21st century, it is time that we really reanalyze and reevaluate the function of the Supreme Court, because I'm here to tell you that we need justices, we need jurists that actually have a Republican view of the Constitution, not Republican in party, but Republican in form of government. What we have now are 9 jurists who believe in democracy and that the government is unlimited and that they can push agendas and so forth. What we need is we need each state to actually have their own jurist as a part of the Supreme Court, and then that the federal government would get to pick whoever the chief justice would be. And I'm not a fan of these lifetime appointments. I believe that there has to be a process at the state level to look at and determine whether the jurist that is supposedly on the Supreme Court representing their state as a part of that Supreme Court, because they should be protecting their state from federal tyranny. This should be just a no-brainer to ensure that the federal government no longer can encroach upon the states, because this whole Supreme Court fiasco for the past 200 years has grown out of hand and out of control to where they've actually subjugated the United States to becoming a killing machine of babies by the Roe v. Wade decision of actually legislating law when the Supreme Court didn't have the authority to do that, nor did they have the jurisdiction. You got to remember that the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court is limited to the enumerated powers, and therefore, the Supreme Court, if you really look at what it could do and should be doing, they don't have that much to do. This particular issue, though, on the citizenship is it's a valid and current issue, and it is an enumerated issue. They don't have the jurisdiction over a lot of the things that they're dealing with. And so I, for one, would love to see the states actually stepping up by appointing these jurists so that the states can constantly say, hey, we don't have jurisdiction over this. This is not an enumerated power to the federal government. We have to live within the confines of the Constitution and keep things in check that way. Here's another good one, and I want to put this into perspective. because we have seen America through decades of debasement from the 50s, the 1950s, when they started injecting sex education and social engineering into the 60s and so forth, to where we've become a society that is focused on self-gratification, and we've moved away from enlightenment. Now, if you haven't heard, there is going to be a straight pride parade in Boston. And most of the news agencies, you can kind of tell which way they're standing on this, because the USA Today says a controversial parade. How is this controversial? And a lot of others are just poking them in the eye, because they're looking at this as, hey, you know, they're trying to make something, you know, that like they've been oppressed all this time. And they're not getting the point. They're actually trying to maybe actually change the direction and letting people know it's more than okay. It is essential to our society to control, you know, whatever our perverse desires might be. People need to get out of the gutter and back into life and focusing on solving real problems instead of worrying about, you know, what can trip your trigger tomorrow. And so the straight pride parade in Boston, maybe it is controversial, but maybe it's poking the debasement and the social engineering in the eye. And the question I have is, could this be the next shot heard around the world? Because you got to remember that when the people stood up for liberty way back up in Concord, that was the shot heard around the world. And so maybe this might be that next revolutionary shot in moving us back and changing the direction of the pendulum back towards enlightenment and away from debasement. One more thing I want to throw out here before we get into climatology. I know I've got that little teaser out there for you. Biometrics has gotten to a point of sophistication that they now can create a unique signature, or they can identify the unique signature that your heartbeat creates. Just like your eye retina and fingerprint, the way your heart beats is a unique signature. And the Pentagon has developed a laser that they can point at you and can ID you by your heartbeat. How about that? Is that not neat? I've been telling you that it is not about this chip that they're going to put in you, or a mark or a tattoo. I believe that the mark that everybody is going to be bearing is their own unique mark that you will register with the government so that you can participate in commerce and working and doing everything you need to do. Because anybody that believes it's going to be a chip will quickly and very, without even thought, succumb to, well, it's not like I'm accepting a mark. It's not like they're putting something on my hand or my forehead, even though they may be using your hand or forehead for the biometrics feed or read. It's about registering and you accepting that position or enrolling yourself into that, let's say, organization or what have you. Well, one more thing. EU is now preparing for this summer. The European Union is going to be having war games in cyberspace. But why are they doing this? They're doing this to prepare themselves for a Chinese and or Russian attack. I thought these guys were good guys. I thought these guys were the moral high ground to the progressives. Why is it that the EU even considers China and Russia to be bad players? Or how about the states that lie on? So here's the thing. The EU is looking at Iran, which is a rogue nation for both China and Russia, because that's where they're getting their goods from. And the EU is looking, and they've been holding up supposedly this treaty that was made with Obama, saying, yeah, this was a good thing. why is it that they're supporting Iran when they're even they're just as bad of bad players as Russia and China? This is hypocrisy. And I just, somebody has to point this out, right? So actually, as I look, I've only got 30 seconds and I cannot start my climatology montage without a little gospel music, because climatology is a new founded religion. It is a secular religion where we accept that the earth has a life and that the earth is the mother of life. And there are, and there has been this movement that, you know, we have to basically, you know, surrender our liberties so that we can save the earth. And this is about the most moronic thing that people have been convinced with probably in, you know, the last several centuries. But this whole concept of ecology or climatology, or that the earth is the mother of religion or a form of religion, has been around for a long, long time, even back to ancient Greece. And we will be right back after these two promos on some climatology. So thank you so much. We'll be right back. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so, as I always try to do, I try to kick it up a notch so that we can kind of set the mood, set the tone for, you know, this whole new religion. So let's give this a shot. Here we go. Who will volunteer? Save the planet. Don't you know we love our planet? Judgment time is here. Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Save the planet. Who will save our planet? And there we go. So did that get your foot tapping? And yeah, okay, we're all going to save the planet now. So if you weren't aware, New York City, which is probably the, you know, the largest city in America, next to L.A., I don't know, because L.A. is just sprawling and sprawling, but it is, if you look at the source of it, it probably is the largest city just because of its vast resources, where New York is just kind of bottled in by different water barriers and so forth. But anyway, New York has declared a climate emergency and is the first U.S. city with more than 1 million residents to do so. So in other words, there are, it's not that New York is the first idiot city to exist in the United States to leap into this stupid bandwagon. Apparently there's some other cities out there with less than a million people. However, what is New York City going to do, and how are they going to combat climatology or this climate change that they are at war with? Here we go, folks. I'd like to see how they're going to start forcing people to no longer have personal cars. They're going to mandate a huge growth of public transportation, and they're going to make the people of New York have to pay through the nose for crappy energy systems and usage. Now, there is only one real direction for the world to be going as far as energy consumption and everything else. And yours truly is actually, I don't want to say I envisioned this, but I have actually submitted a business plan a long time ago to the company I used to work for. It was regarded with great receipt, but we no longer had the business unit to be able to do that type of work. And so they said, well, we want you to keep this idea because we can't execute on it. So go ahead. There you go. And so I'm hoping that we can hopefully move forward in changing the paradigm and eliminating these concepts. And here's the whole problem with what's happening. Not only, well, actually, let me just add this, because this was also in the news cycle. Mette Frederiksen, who is the Danish Prime Minister of Denmark, I believe, vowed also to tackle climate change as a nation. So in other words, in Denmark, they happen to elect their prime minister who's focused on this climatology religion. Okay, well, that's good on them. That's how they want to run their government. But here's the problem. New York City, Bellagio, as well as this Mette Frederiksen, what are they going to do about what happened today in Papua New Guinea? What are they going to do what happens tomorrow in Indonesia? What happens along the Rockies, up in Alaska, Iceland, and all around the world? We're having plenty of volcanic activity that is putting plumes into the air, that is heating the ocean and change. How are they going to, attack their people because of what the world is doing? So today, Papua New Guinea's volatile Uluwatu volcano has basically erupted again, spewing lava high into the air, as well as ash and soot and all sorts of particulates. Have you ever heard of a volcanic winter? Volcanoes have the ability to change the global climate, to cooling it down dramatically. And go look up the last volcanic winter. There were people that died of starvation. The potato famine was about the same time when lots of people were dying. And even here in America, in the New England states and so forth, it didn't get warm enough for them to produce crops. And they were strapped really hard. There were people that died from that volcanic winter. I want to say it was like in the 1811, something like that. Needless to say, these people are buffoons that are pandering to this progressive, because this is not a solution. What this is a pathway to controlling people. This is stripping people of their liberties by creating a false narrative and by asserting death and doom. I've said this before. We need to have a paradigm where we punish people for using demagoguery and fear. And we need to put Gore in jail, because he was the one that said, he was the false prophet that said, okay, we're all going to die because the earth is going to die by 2012, or it won't be inhabitable or whatever. When these people make these types of insane assertions, we need to throw them in jail. Because they're using their position and they're using their influence to create hysteria. It is illegal for you to stand up in a theater and cry fire. It should be equally illegal for a politician to stand at the pulpit and say, we're going to die in 12 years. And if it doesn't happen, see, what this will do is it'll force them to go, well, we got 100 years and we're all going to die in 100 years. Well, because the chances are they won't be around then. And they'll have to, you know, ratchet back a little bit of their hyperbole or their hyperbolic speech of saying, oh, well, we got 5 years, 5 more years. We need to hold them accountable because what they're using is fear-mongering and trying to get people to surrender their liberties. And as a matter of fact, we need to have much higher standards for who our political leaders are. These people are not leaders. They're managers of very evil and dark agendas, period. So let me move on. G. Edward Griffin, in his Need to Know News, pointed out that the freshman Senator Josh Hawley authored a bill to end immunity granted to tech companies, more specifically tech companies that use social media and so forth, under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act that shields them from publisher liability lawsuits if the companies provide an open public forum, such as YouTube, such as Facebook, Twitter, or so forth. However, the tech giants have engaged in political censorship. Under the legislation, the big tech companies could earn their immunity if external audits prove their algorithms and content removal policies remain politically neutral. So he's actually trying to force these tech giants into trying to provide a neutral platform. The federal government, just to be clear, the federal government has no constitutional authority to grant this type of immunity in the first place. People should have been able to sue Google, Facebook, Twitter, and so forth all along. They don't have the ability to create this immunity. And that is the real problem. People look at this law as, oh, this is kind of a good law. No, they don't have the authority in the Constitution to create immunities from companies so that they can't be sued. That's the problem, that the federal government is exercising powers it does not possess constitutionally. Another one, if you haven't heard about the Oregon states, and we've talked about this, the Oregon State Republican senators that are fleeing their session so that they cannot pass some of these unconstitutional laws. Every state, if you didn't know this, if you go to Article 1, Section 6, I believe, that is in the Constitution, where legislators are granted immunities and given a privilege of being considered above the law. They can only be arrested for committing treason, felonies, and those types of things. In other words, they have to be really a bad criminal to actually be able to be detained and or arrested by law enforcement. Every single state in the union has copied that clause because legislators love immunity. They like to speed. They like to break the law. And as long as it's, you know, a misdemeanor or a traffic citation and not a felony, then it's okay. But here's the interesting thing. The governor and law enforcement have been trying to track these guys down, and guys and gals, whatever, and trying to force them into creating quorum so that they can actually ram down the throats of the Oregonians, Oregonians, whatever, these bad laws. Well, they actually have this protection because law enforcement can't come and accost them or arrest them for hiding and not participating. This is the right of conscience of actually shutting down the legislature from doing bad things. And they are protected by the law and granted this immunity. Therefore, the governor of Oregon, Jerry Brown and or now Kate Brown, I guess this is some relative of Jerry, they are actually trying to enforce tyrannical rule, and they should be shut down. Here is another opportunity for people to actually go after them and shut them down for what the heck they're doing by violating the state constitution. They're not above the law. They cannot force people, especially people that have that level of immunity. We are at a hard break, so we'll be right back after two more promos, and we'll get into some more content that's just been looming out there for a while. So please stay tuned. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so something else that happened in the news, it actually didn't happen today, but it was kind of recent. I'm not sure if you remember who Jackson Costco is, but it's not Costco like the big, you know, warehouse, you know, retailer. C-O-S-K-O, Costco. He was the 27-year-old senator's aide that was accused for doxing. Maybe he was a representative's aide. But either way, he was working as an aide in Congress. And he was the one doxing all of the senators that were actually, you know, supporting Kavanaugh. And so he was the one that actually, he wasn't just doxing these people, telling everybody where they lived and putting that information out. He was also using his access for all sorts of, you know, very personal and private information regarding these senators. He was also threatening anybody that was going to expose him that he would actually disclose and provide information regarding these people's children, their health, and so forth. I mean, he's a real nice guy, right? Obviously, he's a deep-in-the-wool progressive. Well, he pleaded guilty to 5 felony charges in April, including making public restricted personal information, computer fraud, witness tampering, and obstruction of justice. He was sentenced to 4 years in prison, and the judge said that the sentence was intended to signal the politically driven criminal harassment will be punished severely. And I'm thinking, I don't think this is severe enough. I don't think that the harm that he inflicted by outing these people is severe enough. I believe that by putting people in harm's way, somebody could easily, and still could, in the magnitude of what it costs, when somebody gets doxxed and they say, well, now I have to sell my home, I have to move and everything else, that is a huge cost. And I honestly believe that all the people he doxxed, this is light. This is way too easy. And as a matter of fact, let me put it in the magnitude of classified information. this should be considered like, you know, disclosing classified information. This guy should at least be doing 7 years, if not 10, at a minimum. We need to safeguard everybody's privacies and so forth. And anybody that wants to use that type of information to out them, then I think that we need to actually start looking at how severe doxing is as a crime and really increase the punishment to where it is one of those things like, you know what, it is not worth going there and doxing somebody. I'm not going to do 10 years in a federal penitentiary because I wanted to hurt somebody. Yeah. We need to actually ramp this up. And the judge thinking that 4 years is a severe thing, I don't think so at all. I really don't think so. I think 10 years would be, you know, would be more adequate. But at least that's my opinion on it. J. Edward Griffin also pointed out that in New Zealand, a court sentenced Philip Arps to 2 years in jail. This is going to be happening here, by the way. If you don't know who James Arps or Philip Arps is, he's the one that was sharing the video of the mass shooting in the mosque in Christchurch this past March. 2 years in jail for actually sharing that video. Now, so if you want to see a video of some, you know, pretty graphic and horrific type of thing, I mean, that's okay if that's what you want to watch. But for somebody to make that available and to be, you know, arrested and thrown in jail for 2 years, you got to be kidding me. I think it's the same thing with this huge censorship of showing the Twin Towers and 9/11 and that type of thing, because what they're doing is they're trying to filter and censor the ramifications and the memories and the effect of these things. They know exactly how powerful it is to show those planes flying into the Twin Towers. And they know the sentiments that that creates. And so I don't understand why they went after this guy. You would think that they would say, okay, you know, maybe using this because it actually supports the progressive agenda. But apparently a bigger part of their agenda is suppressing and controlling information. And to me, that's really scary when a government of supposedly a free society wants to control information to that degree. We should be very mindful of that because that becomes the totalitarian state. Somebody should be able to freely share, and regardless of how they got the source, it's not like he was going to jail because he violated copyrights of sharing that. It's just the fact that he shared information that they didn't want to share and they're going after him. Well, so one other thing that I think is really important, because this goes in line with reparations. I'm not sure if you've heard, but because of this rancor, because of this hyperbole, this hyperbolic is the preferred way for myself to say it. Most people call it hyperbole, but hyperbolic speech of this reparations, slavery, and so forth. A black parolee arrested for raping and bashing a white woman on the roof of his Bronx apartment building allegedly told a witness that she deserved the brutal attack because of slavery, according to court papers. She was a white girl. She deserved it. This is the quote. She was a white girl. She deserved it because us minorities have been through slavery. Hold it. When was he through slavery? When was his parents? Was his grandparents? I mean, it had been so long ago, and so many people are creating this personal affinity or personal attachment to something that happened such a long time ago. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Really? I'm having a problem with this, folks. What about what's happened to Israel? What about what's happened to all the people that have been persecuted? I mean, there have been plenty of people that have been persecuted, the Indians. Lots of people, even religious persecution right here in America, because it comes to my mind that Mormons have been persecuted as well. We have to get to the point, as a Christian nation, we have to get to the point where we, you know, accept that we have no control over the sins of the past, but we have to move forward on the high ground in not committing those sins again. More importantly, if you understand the sanctity of the sacrifice of blood that went into emancipating and freeing all men in America, all men and women. Now, women will say, well, they still had their suffrage they had to get and so forth. It was a long time coming. And most people just want to rewrite history. But you don't change a culture overnight. We don't all of a sudden, you know, unleash everybody. It takes a long time for people to come to the conclusion. It was 5,000 years slavery existed. It took even longer for women to be able to vote and have, you know, the same types of powers and so, but those were cultural problems we overcame. And that's the thing that we have to look at, is the positive side, that we overcame these things. And here this young man who, Tamar Bishop, a 23-year-old, who did this horrific crime, are you kidding me? You want to use this as your justification? That's pretty weak. As a matter of fact, I know all sorts of people try to justify their existence. They try to justify why they do things. And when they try to do that, bottom line is that they're just reaching. And as far as I'm concerned, if you are that shallow that you want to use something that has happened to somebody way back when, I mean, well over 100 years, well over 150 years ago, are you kidding? I'm sorry. You need to grow up. You need to actually, you know, get enlightened and understand that you have control over your own destiny, and you have no right whatsoever to actually, you know, inflict any harm because of your inadequacies or how you feel about something. And so we have laws against this, but unfortunately, the one thing I don't like that is happening is that they are charging this man with a hate crime. I think we should just throw the book at him for what he had done. I do not like hate crimes because hate crimes mean and try to ratchet up the punishment. This was whether he wanted to use a justification or not for his hate for a race or what have you, whether it is a KKK, Nazi, whatever, or Antifa, Black Lives Matter, I don't care. Let's put away the hate crime. We can't add that added crime to it because bottom line, they committed a crime, and let's punish them for the crime they committed, regardless of whatever weak justification they used or however unstable they are. If they're unstable, then let's put them in an insane asylum. But let's not try to create these politically correct laws in how we want to inflict extra harm on people to change the behavior of society. That is just wrong. That's the same thing as enslaving people, and we need to evaluate what the direction we're going and what the heck we're doing, period. One more thing, it looks like I might have, actually I don't have any more time, so we'll cover this next broadcasting time, maybe tomorrow or whenever, about the Anti-Defamation League and Charles Cook. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley, we're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. So we'll be back and we'll have more information for you. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.